一屋之类的。
没有。没有。
Welcome to Who Weekly, the podcast where you'll learn everything you need to know about celebrities you don't. I'm Bobby Finger.
I'm Lindsay Weber.
And this is a clip from Vanity Fair doing a lie detector test with Keke Palmer.
Would you say that True Jackson VP was a better VP than Dick Cheney?
What the hell is... Ooh, y'all are really testing me on some stuff that I hate to say it. I hope I don't sound ridiculous. I don't know who this man is. I mean, he could be walking down the street. I wouldn't know a thing. Sorry to this man.
Once more with feeling.
Sorry to this man.
Sorry to this man.
She is the funniest. She's so funny.
We talk about her too much almost.
We don't talk about her all the time. We just mention her because I'm like obsessed with her.
You love her. The thing is, she was really nice to you once, and so she's permanently like, endeared to her.
More than nice, I'm a writer, and she was an amazing interview. Mm-hmm. She gave me so much, and we had a really interesting conversation, and I thought she was really smart and really earnest, but like funny, and I just, every time she does anything, I'm like endeared. Like, isn't she like in a throuple on TV with like Strahan and what's her face right now?
Strahan, Sarah, and Keke.
Yeah, like yeah. It's a professional throuple. I didn't mean like a sexual throuple, but she's like literally like, she's like on TV, like making their show good.
She has a perfect talk show host voice.
Yeah. And is she going to be the breakout of Hustlers? I haven't seen it. I'm seeing it tomorrow, but like maybe. Too.
And also Keke's been around forever. The reason they asked that question is because they brought up Dick Cheney because one of the things that got her famous was she was on a Nickelodeon show called True Jackson VP where she played the vice president of a fashion line. She's like, was one of those things where it's like, hey, kid, you're smart. You could be the VP of my like children's fashion line. And she was like, okay. And that's the show. Anyway, it was a hit. Here are the other things. So this clip of her saying, I don't know who Dick Cheney is, went viral last night. The Vanity Fair video itself is very peculiar. It's long and the concept is like, strange. It's like, we gave her a lie detector test, but they don't ask her like prodding questions because it's Vanity Fair, so they're being nice.
They just ask her stupid questions.
Right. But fortunately, there are three great nuggets out of it. The one you just heard.
Sorry to this man.
Then there's this. They talk about ghosts, and then they show a photo of Teresa Caputo, and then this happens.
And have you ever watched Long Island Medium?
I've never watched this show with this lady. No. I've never seen it before. She got some nails, though, don't she?
And then there's this. When they ask her about her dating life, they're like, have you ever ghosted somebody? And she's like, of course I've ghosted somebody. Some men are like nightmares and you have to ghost them. And then they're like, have you ever been ghosted?
Have you ever been ghosted?
Oh, I've been ghosted before, yeah. I've been ghosted. I don't take to it very well.
Incredible.
I just think, and we've said it before and I'll say it again. She's just like a treasure.
She is.
She just, to me, she's like... a real triple threat, you know?
She's also so child star, but not in a disarming way. Not in like a creepy way, sort of like Natalie Portman's like creepy child star. She's been media trained since she was in the womb.
Yeah, she's like Bella Thorne's age. Yeah. Like they're the same like path, right? Like
Ariana Grande too.
Yeah, like Zendaya, like they're all like in the same path. Mm-hmm. It's just interesting to see like the journeys that they're all taking. But all of them have this like innate talent that is like very clear.
And also it's talent that has been nurtured since they were children. Yes. So
yeah. And it's not like inherent talent. It's like talent that's like practice talent. Like, you know, the talent that you've been working on your full life, you know, and kind of that weird, like old soul wisdom that you get from like being on camera all the time.
That you get from like when you're 10 years old and your first mentors are Lawrence Fishburne and Angela Bassett. Like you're going to be more poised than the average child star.
Well, because like your comfort level is just like so high. Like you're just so used to this. I mean, I love her so much.
But speaking of Natalie Portman, did you see that the Natalie Portman astronaut movie doesn't have diapers in it? She plays
diaper lady in it.
Well, she plays diaper astronaut lady.
There are no diapers in it. What does she wear when she drives across the country in the car?
They don't address it. And she doesn't do it.
So how does she go to the bathroom?
I guess she goes to a rest stop or a McDonald's or a Starbucks.
No, absolutely not. That's not true. That's not the real story.
It would be so funny if there's just like this gratuitous scene where she like pulls over at a McDonald's and then you just see her go into the hallway and then leave and get back into the car.
Well, I'd be pissed because I'd be like, well, that means there's no diaper. And this whole time I'm going to be waiting for diaper.
But speaking of... Natalie Portman.
Wearing a diaper.
Here we go.
Hi, Who Weekly.
Medium time, first time. I wanted to say that you guys brought up on the last show that Zooey Deschanel was the start of the Manic Pixie Dream Girl thing. It actually was Kirsten Dunst's character in Elizabeth Town that first spawned the Manic Pixie Dream Girl phrase. And I think before that, it was Natalie Portman in Garden State that kind of started that era. And technically, according to the Wikipedia page about Manic Pixie Dream Girl, Zooey Deschanel is a deconstruction of the trope in 500 Days of Summer. So I'm sure somebody already told you that because your listeners are very pedantic in the best way, but I just wanted to make sure you cover that. And then I also wanted to ask Brittany Snow, who or them? I think she's a who because I loved her in Crazy Ex-Girlfriend and Hairspray and Pitch Perfect and John Tucker Must Die. But my husband doesn't know who she is. I don't know if it's because he's clueless or because she's a who. Thanks. Crunch, crunch. Bye.
Calling our listeners pedantic is really honestly...
As you know, your listeners are pedantic. Manic Pixie Dream Girl was coined literally... We know who coined the phrase. His name is Nathan Rabin. He wrote an essay about Elizabeth Town in AV Club. And he was referring to Kirsten Dunst's character in Elizabeth Town.
It was coined by that, but I think it reached its like peak, like talked about, was Natalie Portman in Garden State.
But that was before.
But
Natalie Portman was before.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
But she became the one that people mostly referenced because no one talks about Elizabeth Town.
Well, like Natalie Portman was like, I'm sick too. Like, me, I have to go to the doctor. Right. Like, I'm frail. I'm a fragile little being.
But it's funny because you're saying that Zooey Deschanel was like a parody of that. That's not that. That's very generous reading, you know?
Isn't it? What is she listening
to? It was her whole construction. Wait, what do you mean? Oh, The Shins. You gotta hear this song, it'll change your life.
Well, that's Natalie Portman, but Zooey Deschanel does a similar thing in 500 Days of Summer that's in the trailer, and it's like, is it like Elvis Costello or something?
I don't remember.
She like sings along to Joseph Gordon-Levitt when he has headphones on, and it's like you're commenting on Manic Pixie Dream Girl. You're not necessarily like throwing it for a loop or deconstructing
it. Also, the idea was
they just don't end up together.
5 Days of Summer, it was, you know, his perception of her.
He put her on a pedestal.
Yeah,
and then their relationship was ruined.
We were more talking about Natalie Zooey Deschanel as a person, as a character. Her entire persona was Manic Pixie Dream Girl, and she ended up representing this like very specific like mod cloth wearing vintage lamp buying record playing glasses wearing, bangs having, oh my, I'm still going,
vintage dress wearing,
yeah, like literally like whatever that was like her thing. I think in 500 Days of Summer, you're right. It was the way that was written. It was a pretty good movie, was like trying to deconstruct her.
Yeah, but at the end of the day, like straight dudes were like, I'm really into this Zooey Deschanel chick. I like girls like this.
Like bangs and big blue eyes. Like sign me up.
Wow, she reminds me of Natalie Portman in Garden State. Wish I could land a chick like that. You know, like a chick that may not
dying and loves the Shins. Like sign me up.
And then there was someone also called in and said that Kate Winslet was a precursor to all of these people because of Eternal Sunshine. But I totally see that, and I think they belong in the same category. But I think Kate Winslet's character is on a kind of a different wavelength than these people.
I agree.
Kate Winslet is way too openly broken and like mean and hostile and like.
There's like a messiness to her that I don't think Manic Pixie Dream Girl like had as much of. Just quickly off podcast, someone just sent me an oral history of the 1994 adaptation of Little Women, and I'm screaming because the first line, it's Amy Pascal claiming that she was named after Amy from Little Women, which, like, is everything to me. Like, it says everything to me. Stop slamming.
She's so good.
You can leave
this in
if you want.
She's
so
good.
Literally, my dad read it to me, my mother, when she was pregnant, and that's how I got my name, Amy Beth. Her name is literally Amy Beth. Her name is Amy Beth. She's a combination of Amy and Beth. Oh my God. A combination of being named after Amy and Beth from Little Women is literally like you're named after the youngest, like most annoying Little Women and the one who dies.
No, it's literally like my name is Samantha Charlotte Jones. You know?
I was named after the two most iconic Sex and City women, Samantha Charlotte. Okay, we need to move on. I'm sorry, I'll read this later.
Hi, Lindsay and Bobby. Medium time, first time. Just listening to the episode, and you guys were talking about celebs that were at Burning Man. And you left out one very important person, which is Adrienne Grenier was there and wrote a truly insane caption. Definitely worth checking out. That's it. Me in Greece.
I'm so sorry that we forgot Adrienne Grenier.
I'm actually kind of annoyed that he wasn't even in any of these lists. Maybe his photo came out later than they made them. You know who was also there? Josh Jackson.
He was? Was he there with his girlfriend? Fiance?
Yeah, his fiance. Oh,
that's cute.
But like, so she posted a picture of them. I think the thing is to not post any pictures, post them late. If you don't want to be in those stupid lists, which you really don't. So like, if you post them late, then you won't.
I'm all for posting late.
Yeah, you love to post late.
I love to not post until it's all done.
45 years ago, here's me and my friends.
Here's Adrienne Grenier's caption. The photo, there's a carousel, didn't click through it, but the first one is him with his bike, because you know everyone at Burning Man rides around on bikes the entire time. Dust cloud in the background, he's very dirty. Caption, we built it just to burn it down. Indeed, I too have been enmeshed in my own total and absolute transformation. It's scary, I feel exposed and unsure, but I know I must go deeper into catabasis if I am to do what is necessary and good. Give my blood, hands, and soul to change, and learn to walk again as a new man. I am proud to have helped build the great hashtag temple that gave space to hold the pathos of so many, to provide a cocoon of change for the sorrow and loss of our community, and to release the stagnant weight in my heart, moving my own suffering into the kinetic release of heat and flames. Thank you for giving me the chance to know my true capacity for love, to learn what it is to cry again as a child, and to recognize my own brutal potential to create and to destroy and to choose to build when called upon. And to burn if needed to, but to also do nothing if wisdom is calling me to simply bear witness. Hashtag Burning Man 2019 was hashtag metamorphosis, hashtag Burning Man.
What?
I don't know.
I just feel like, I guess part of me is like, if you go to Burning Man and you don't feel the need to write a caption like this, you're not going to Burning
Man
correctly.
Like, why did you spend all that money? Yeah.
Yeah, like, this is insane, but if you are going to Burning Man and you don't feel this way, then like you're not doing it correctly. Something is up.
Silicon Valley people are probably not having this experience. So good on Adrienne, I guess.
Yeah.
For at least doing Burning Man the way Burning Man was intended to be done.
Yeah, like with full-hearted insanity.
Like a real desire for personal growth and self-discovery and like a to have some connection with other people and to feel like you are stumbling into the depths of hell and then returning as a, you know, a stronger person with a greater perspective.
And maybe you ate ass.
Maybe you ate ass. I was trying to think of a next call.
Next call.
Hi, medium time. I just wanted to call because I had listened to you guys talking about how nothing had happened at Burning Man. There'd been one thing going around the internet a little bit. There's an electronic musician named Flume, sort of an EDM them regular who was videotaped eating a girl's ass on stage at Burning Man. And it caused a little bit of a uproar online for like a day or two. Yeah, that's pretty much it. And women don't belong in balloons.
We talked about this and then cut it, but like then people kept calling like something did happen at Burning Man, Flume ate ass, and I was like, oh yeah, we gotta bring this back.
I was like, Bon Iver ate ass. Flume is a DJ, he's Australian, great. He sort of looks like a more clean cut Charlie Puth, by which I mean he looks like Ansel Elgort mixed with Charlie Puth. That's
we talked
Flume.
About him before because he was in the boys video, Charlie XCX's video.
He was like, this guy Flume.
Yeah.
So he performed at Burning Man, and while he was up there, there was a sign, right? Someone held up a sign that was like, Flume, eat ass. And he was like, okay. And so he ate someone's ass.
Well, he like picked up his girlfriend's skirt and like stuck his face in her butt.
In her butt. And it is his girlfriend. And also her like pants or like her shorts are still on. Like she's not, it's not like naked ass. He was doing,
faux ate ass.
He put his head into her butt.
He put his head in her butt. It was pretty funny, honestly.
Yeah, like, it was funny. It was absolutely funny.
Yeah. And if you think that's like the most, you know, explicit thing that's happened at Burning Man, you're obviously not hanging out with Adrienne Grenier, because I feel like, you know, it's just, you know, fake eating ass on stage at Burning Man is like level one.
And I got it wrong. The sign didn't say, hey, Flume, eat ass. It was just a sign that says, does Flume eat ass?
Does Flume eat ass?
Does
and he
Flume.
Confirmed that, yes, he eats ass.
His girlfriend's name is Paige Elkington.
Paige Eckington. Eckington.
Elkington.
Elkington. Oh, my God.
She's like kind of a funny comedy Instagram model.
Well, she's like a comedian hot girl. Instagram
she's like,
model.
I'm hot, but like, here's me doing a weird face. And like, here's me talking about Pokemon, you know?
Right. Like she's like, I'm funny. And like, I'm also hot. But like,
I'm
what's weird about her was that wasn't the first time that she went viral, was getting her ass eaten by her boyfriend on stage. She also, there's a photo of her that's been used a lot,
yes.
where she's being like choked. But when I say this, you have to look at the photo. It's like her and a friend who's also blonde and Jeff Goldblum. And he's choking her.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like looking at the camera like, yeah, I'm being choked by Jeff Goldblum. But it's like,
it's
just very weird.
Very openly, clearly a joke.
Yeah. But it's also great because it's like his hand that has his wedding ring on it. Mm-hmm. So it's like his wedding ring hand is like grasping her neck. And she clearly was like, choke me as a gag. But then this photo becomes like a my student debt loan, like, you know, like, mm-hmm. Dinner at Spago, you know, like like, do you get my joke?
Yes. No, I get it.
Okay. Yeah, like it becomes like a meme where it's like some why
get,
Spago, but like,
do you get, know, my joke? Hey, do you get it?
Get it? Like me, I'm the one getting choked, and then my student loan debt is choking me. But then the other girl who's just smiling is dinner at Spago.
We got a lot of calls suggesting titles for the Lifetime movie about the college admission scandal, because college admission scandal is too boring of a title. Let's just play them all in quick succession.
Lifetime presents Penelope Ann Miller in Admission of Guilt. Women don't belong in balloons.
The name of the college admission scandal movie should clearly be Desperate Housewives, : Who Calls the Headmaster?
Hey, just pitching a pulp title for the college admission scandal movie. What about Money Can Buy You Class? Okay, well, good form, Bellathorn. Bye.
The title of the Lifetime movie should obviously be Desperate Mothers, Full Jailhouse.
Also, a lot of people called in and said Admission of Guilt, and which is perfect. And that's what should be.
That's the answer.
That's the one.
That's literally the one. We were like, I think we were circling it. We could have gotten there.
Mm-hmm. Just give us some time.
I did like the working in When Calls the Heart.
Mm-hmm.
Those are for the true heads. But I would say Admissions of Guilt is like what a Lifetime movie should be called. Like that is the name. That is the name.
Okie dokie.
Let's get into some health.
Let's get into some stuff.
Hi, Who Weekly. Long time. I was just on Twitter and I saw you guys tweet out that there are who's and there are them's and then there are nas. And I am so curious. I really want you to expand on this and tell me who's are nas. Are there any thems that are nas? Who's are nas? This completely revolutionizes the Who universe or the Who Weekly universe. Anyway, good form, Bellathorn.
I like this call because she has no idea what was being referenced. It's very pure. She's just like, oh, a new category.
Like we were subtweeting and she was like, no, that's interesting. But we've like basically alluded to or talked about the idea of nah, which is just like, you know, there's who's, there's them's, and there's just people that like don't even get on that spectrum.
Yeah.
Which is like, again, not value judgment, but like Bobby and I were like, we're nahs. Like we're just like, why would you and the problem is that we don't want to talk about nahs because then we're like punching down.
Yeah.
and it becomes like too real, and this is why, you know, whenever you guys want us to talk about the Bon Appetit people, Bobby is a big fan of them, so it makes sense we would talk about them. I kind of still see them as nahs, just
they're
because even though their personalities, they're not quite who's, like they're food editors that work that make videos.
I would like to think that we stick to this 100% of the time. I know we don't, but I feel like we like to focus exclusively on people who want attention. It's not fun to talk about people who aren't having fun. you know?
Yeah.
And so right. I think that's another hallmark of Anna. Like, not to get dark, but like, we don't like talking about people who are going through like personal darkness. That's any number of celebrities. I feel like there's a lot of ways to interpret Anna, you know?
Yeah. I mean, I don't think of Na as people who are going through issues. We just don't talk about them either because it's mm-hmm. dark and it's not that fun and it ends up being like depressing and not that funny. And this is mostly a show about comedy, you know, like it's a funny show.
Although
babies.
Don't you
like,
ever whatever. Call us a comedy podcast. Never.
No, we're a comedy. We're a comedy podcast.
Tell me that you're laughing, but don't put me in the comedy section. There's too much competition over there.
Okay. Our point is.
What do I live in Los Angeles?
We were, what do I do, stand up at the UCB?
What am I, an earwolf podcast?
Okay. You know? All right, relax. Yeah, no, totally. We wish. Just kidding. I mean, no, we're fine. We're good. Who?
Kombucha girl over here. Okay.
I love her so much.
She's great.
Don't forget I'm hot. Okay.
Moving on.
It was a subtweet.
The conversations we had before going to the microphones about this were wild. Extensive. They were long. They were wild. We didn't know how to cover this. We didn't know
we'll
if
post
we
should
them
cover on this. Our
Patreon. We put them.
Post the text. Post the text.
I'll post the text. We talked about Caroline Calloway in January.
We put our name on an episode, so we can't fully back off. You know, like we
can sort of back off, but. Let's just say we've done this before. In lieu of explaining who Caroline Calloway is, you can literally Google Caroline Calloway explainer and see the most popular story in the New York Times right now and get all of that taken care of in a really quick little story. We're talking about how suddenly she's being written about by everyone. She's being tweeted about by everyone. Like there were contingencies of people who like knew this cut story from like the other side of the story was going to be published. Like people are so invested in this person's story.
We say cut story because one of her friends wrote an essay that involved her on the cut, which yes. arguably is what is kind of
the reason for this resurgence.
Right. And more popular than kind of like her whole thing to begin with was this quote unquote scandal, which implies that she, you know, this person was like helping ghostwrite this girl's persona on Instagram, which I guess is the most interesting part. It's like this girl has a persona on Instagram that people really like and also really hate. But it's not fully her, which is so obvious. Of course, it's not fully her. But her friend is saying we had a messed up friendship and I was helping with this persona. And that's literally this essay. It is a perfect cut essay. That is the other thing. It is a perfect cut essay. It's about a toxic friendship and it's about, you know,
white women.
White women on the internet. And so you have the New York Times writing the explainer, which the New York Times has been super into writing these like internet meme explainers recently. I don't know like what's going on
because
over there.
Because they must do amazing traffic. That's why you do things. Like
so
that's
they're,
why
they're
you do
SEOing
things.
Out the ass because everybody is searching who is Caroline Calloway. They're saying Caroline Calloway I'm reading from the New York Times, is a 27-year-old personality whose preferred medium of expression is the posting of photos and screenshots of text to Instagram. She's become a fixture in the digital daily tours of some young literary edgy people, particularly women. Then you have the AV Club, who says Caroline Calloway, a woman who has built a dedicated following via highly stylized photos with lengthy essay-like captions on Instagram, has laid claim to a few titles, including artist and teacher, but many have been quick to call her a scammer. This is because she had those events that we talked about on the last time we talked about her that went wrong, but also I kind of feel like in retrospect, we're not so bad after all because people showed up and met her and that's what they wanted and they got what they wanted, which was to meet her. And then you have, I'll just read one more. This is Vox.com's explainer, since they're the only ones who actually are like the ones who say we write explainers. Explaining how Caroline Calloway became internet famous is a little tricky because she's not a classic celebrity. She's not even really a classic Instagram influencer, although Instagram is where her story begins, which actually I would say is the most accurate and meta and you know, macro explanation of her.
And to this day, Instagram is where she does the bulk of her self-expression. Like, there are whole accounts that are dedicated to following and, like, compiling all of her Instagram stories and her Instagram captions and, like, trying to spread awareness of, like, her state of mind at any given moment. And, like, oh, what's she up to next? Oh, now she's an artist. Oh, now she's a writer. She's an artist. Oh, her book deal got canceled, but everything's fine. Like, her identity is so nebulous and all over the place, and all of that must be really hard on a person. I don't know.
I guess the point is that this is somebody that people on the internet are talking about. And because of the way that they're talking about her, it's going to be short-lived. Because there really is nowhere to go. Her fans will continue to follow her and enjoy her stuff. And she will continue to put out the stuff they enjoy or hate. And, like, it will stay in that, like, sphere. Because she really can only handle, like, what she can do on Instagram. Which is fine. Because, like, you can live in your own little bubble and, like, that's your world. Mm-hmm. So all of this press is just, it's brief is what I'm saying. Like, this essay is about her, but it's really not about her. It's just about, like, friendship. Really, it is.
It's a lot like the, just like we said about the Democratic debates, where it's like the people who get Googled the most at the end are the people you don't know. You know, where it's like the reason everyone's reading this story about Caroline Calloway is because they see people tweeting about it. They see influential people tweeting about her and they're like, why don't I know who this person is? I have to read about this. Like, it's inflating her actual influence and her level of fame because she's not famous. You know what I mean? Like, there's the, it's this weird relationship that we're used to at this point. But, like, she is a product of that. She's a product of people who have platforms, people who have influence are talking about this person. And then their followers are like, wait, why is everyone in the know talking about this? I need to figure out who this is. But then you look her up and it's like, okay, there's really not that much to this.
But the point is that it's what the essay that people are talking about itself, because outside of being about this person, it's a good essay. And so people want to know the story behind the essay, but they really don't want to know the story behind the essay.
Right, because you read the New York Times or the Vox's like, who is Caroline Calloway? And you're like, right, wait, this? This is what this is about?
It's actually small stakes we're talking about here. So, I mean, I just, that's why it's going to pass, because it's more about the reading of this good essay and not about Caroline at all. So, that's all that we say. I hope you cut that down to be manageable and succinct, just like this person's story should be, because it is, like, truly, like, she is a nah in a way. I think she's going through it. And I think that's what happens when you blog on the internet at 27 years old. You go through it.
You go through it. And it just so happens all eyes are on her right now. And, like, that does not make going through it any easier.
Yeah. If anything, it makes it harder. So we should move on.
And it definitely doesn't make it fun to talk about, which is why we're going to move on to a fun topic.
Why do you want to learn a new language? Where would you use it and how would it come in handy? This is what I'm asking myself every single day. Even if I'm not planning on going on a trip where I need to use a new language, I'm just like, my brain needs to stay alive. My brain needs to stay active. And there's only so many crossword puzzles I can do in 1 week. And that's why I just feel like putting my mind to the test would just be using Rosetta Stone to improve my language skills.
And I'm always like idealizing. Oh, I want to learn Francais, so when I go to Francais, I can speak French with the person in
France. You go to Quebec.
But really, I'm speaking on a, like, dream level, which is also great. Use Rosetta Stone to learn the language of a place you're dreaming of visiting. But also, practically, it makes more sense for me to learn Spanish. And if I'm going to learn Spanish, I'm going to do it on Rosetta Stone.
That's amazing.
They've been the trusted expert for 30 years with millions of users, and they have 25 languages offered. You have fast language acquisition because they immerse you in the language. There aren't English translations, so you really learn to speak, you listen, you think in the language with Rosetta Stone, and it has an intuitive process, so you pick up the language naturally. First words, then phrases, then sentences, which means it's designed for long-term retention. And the app has a true accent feature that gives you feedback on your pronunciation, like having a personal trainer for your accent. It's very helpful, okay?
That was good. That was good.
Thank you.
It's convenient. There's an amazing value. You can get a lifetime membership and just have every single language, all 25 languages you can have for your lifetime, and you can just work through them as long as you're alive. That's kind of an iconic goal to have. So don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, Who Weekly listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/who. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/who today.
Who Weekly. Long time. Third time. People just posted a tweet and it says, Kelly Clarkson is officially a godmother, ... to Norwegian Cruise Line's newest ship, the Encore. Just wanted you to know. Crunch, crunch.
Kelly Clarkson show. Did you watch it? I did.
No, I was too busy watching the talk. I had to see Sharon's new face.
Well, that was just a literal 5-minute clip.
Yeah, but I had to watch the whole episode to see other things.
Did you watch the whole episode? Or are you just lying?
No, I truly did watch the whole episode. I told you it took me like an hour to make that video. Because I was like, maybe something else funny will happen. But then nothing Kobe Bryant came happened. On and I was like, this is weird. Why do they have Kobe Bryant on the show?
Kelly Clarkson show premiered. It is very in the spirit of Ellen, which is funny because Ellen showed up. So I was like, oh, this is like literally like an Ellen knockoff. But instead of dancing, Kelly sings, which, you know, whatever. And do I think that Kelly is genuinely much a nicer person than Ellen in real life? Yes, I do. But it is very much like very daytime TV. It's very like she sings a song. She gives back. She, you know, she talks to the locals.
Locals.
You know, she loves to talk to locals.
I'm very honored to be in the presence of so many locals.
And now she is the godmother of a cruise ship. Why do boats have godmothers? Why would you be a godparent to a boat?
It's such an easier explanation than I expected. Whenever I found this out, I was like, oh, duh. It's just a result of christening. That's what you call the person who christens a ship. That's what some people call the person who christens a ship.
Ships get christened?
You know, like whenever a ship is about to go on its maiden voyage, like someone, usually a woman, comes out and like breaks a bottle of champagne on the hull. You know, that's christening. No. You've never seen this happen?
I've seen it, but I don't know that was called christening.
It's called christening a ship. And you
do we have to religiously like do something?
Why do we do anything? It's tradition. It's just like long-standing ship tradition.
Do ships get like
they get circumcised? Yeah,
first communion.
So they get first communion. They get circumcised, and then they have a glass of champagne. They do everything at once.
Quinceañera, like what?
Yeah, they have a quinceañera too. Yeah, absolutely.
So a ship gets christened, and the person who does the christening is technically called the godmother.
Well, not even
but
technically.
But it's also a great ad. It's a great, like, spawn. So you some have ship
lines,
spawn.
Some ship lines call them godmothers. Norwegian calls all their people godmothers. So to get publicity for the ship, they want a celebrity to break the champagne
that
on it.
That makes sense. That makes sense.
Right. So it's actually not all that interesting. And this is
also when you smash a champagne bottle, the cork can't go out into
the cork
your eyeball.
Can't go out. Exactly.
Yeah.
And usually
you
you turn your head and you smash it, and then it's good to go.
Woo! Mazel tov, boat.
You are now a woman.
Because boats are always women, it's true.
Yeah, they are. They're all women. I was Googling other celebrity christening things, and I was expecting sort of like B, C, D list celebrities. And no, sometimes really famous people do it, including Kate Middleton.
Whoa!
Kate Middleton is the godmother of the ship The Royal Princess.
Of course, because she is the Royal Princess.
Kim Cattrall is the godmother of the ship Norwegian Dawn. Where did I get this? I think the Telegraph. Yeah, Telegraph.
Oh, God.
And when she broke the champagne on the Norwegian Dawn, she says, Norwegian Dawn will be the biggest ship in New York. And don't let anyone tell you that size doesn't matter. You know, like she did a bit. Sophia Loren did this. And I loved Sophia Loren's quote because she was like, I'm only here because a friend told me to do this. She says, I'm a godmother to MSC Cruises fleet because I'm a great friend of the Aponte family who owns MSC Cruises and they keep me involved.
Okay.
Judi Dench is the godmother of the Carnival Legend. The tabloids called her Dame Judi Drench after she after she got covered in champagne from the christening.
That's so good.
And her, I don't know if there's video of this. I would love to find it if there is, though.
I have always taken my responsibility as godmother extremely seriously, and I hope that if at any time this great ship feels it needs any help, it will feel free to call on me and I will go rush it to its side.
That's so funny.
I love the idea of like the ship sinking like Titanic and calling and like their first call is like, Judi Dench, like, you please come help us. We're sinking. And Judy's like, I will be there in a minute.
But it's in Morse code. So you're like, oh, it's not actually that dramatic. It's just like beep, 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 beep.
And Judy gets a call on her like her cell phone that only has like four numbers programmed into it. And one's like the boat. She's like, it's the boat.
If anyone can speak Morse, it's Judi Dench. Jennifer Hudson
she learned Morse code for this role, which is godmother of a cruise ship. Yes, Bobby,
she puts in the work. Pitbull is the godfather, which is very rare. When there's a godfather, everyone's like, ooh, gender flipping, whoa. My favorite celebrity
surprise.
I need your because earnest reaction, just, so I'm gonna send you a thing. Okay. Look at this.
A tweet, a text.
Yes. If I send it to you, it's going to reveal it. So just click. I'm going to turn this into a link. And then I want you to click it.
Okay. From Pitbull to Malala.
Malala christened a cruise ship.
At the recent christening of the Celebrity Edge in Fort Lauderdale, Florida, Nobel Peace Prize laureate Malala released a custom-made 18-liter bottle. Don't let Malala slam a bottle of...
But she did mineral water, not alcohol.
Oh, okay, mineral
and
water.
And also, imagine
the
Malala...
parabolic ultra bow.
Malala went to Fort Lauderdale to christen a ship with water.
Malala is the perfect godmother for Celebrity Edge, said Lisa Lutoff-Perlo, president CEO of Celebrity Cruises, the inspirational Oxford University student who is the co-founder of Malala Fund, advocating for... Oh, my God. Wait. Long live the domain of royalty and dames. Cruise lines are thinking creatively and changing up this maritime tradition of who will bestow a vessel with good luck, a custom which stems back to the Viking Age when blood was spilt, during a ship launch as an offering to appease the gods. Thankfully, that blood has now been replaced by a bottle of champagne, or in Malala's case, sparkling water.
Wait for this.
No, I keep...
This
it's
is
still
also
going.
Lisa Lutoff-Perlo. When we were thinking about the ship and we were thinking about the fact that it's really transformative and heroic, we then decided that we needed to think about a godmother who is equally transformative and equally heroic. And when the team was thinking about who that could be, the first name that came to everyone's lips was Malala. What? The ship is heroic and transformative?
But can you imagine
what?
Sitting around a table being like, we must get Malala.
Malala.
Malala. We must get Malala. God, this ship editor gave so much money to Malala's cause. Meanwhile, the Royal Caribbean has just christened the new Symphony of the Seas with the first god family of the ship, actors and keen cruisers, Carlos and Alexa Peña Vega, remember them? Mm-hmm. And their aptly named son, Ocean, did the honors. Remember the Peña Vegas?
So now Kelly Clarkson has joined the ranks.
She's the godmother.
Daytime talk show hosts and iconic cruise ship godmothers. Next call.
Hi, guys. So this Friday, the 13th, a music video drops for the Charlie's Angels movie. Wow, couldn't remember the name of it. But the single is by Ariana Grande, Miley Cyrus, and Lana Del Rey. And I think you should rank those three people. And I think we all know Lana's at the bottom, even though... Not the bottom. She's a who. You know what? I'm talking too long. You know what to do. Bye.
So we have not heard this because it's Thursday now and the song's not out, but we could make...
Oh, it's out tomorrow.
It's out tomorrow.
But
we
I feel
make
like
a
if,
lot of
if
assumptions.
You hear the song tomorrow, listen to us predict what the song will be like. So I feel like the song will be fine to bad with Lana's part being transcendent and copy and pasted in a good way.
Ariana Grande's part will be indecipherable and Miley will surprisingly be the one who feels the most out of place.
But somehow it'll all work and it'll sound like bleep bloop bleep bloop bleep like that. It'll be very plonky.
I can understand. I can see there being like a nice sort of harmony between Ariana and Lana. Like, I can see that they would complement each other. Miley, yes. No offense to Miley, we love Miley. She feels weirdly like the odd man out here, I think.
Well, maybe with the new Kristen Stewart helmed sapphic Charlie's Angels, Miley does fit in, because Miley is also, recently...
She's recently dating a woman.
Yes, I'm looking forward to this because I think the original we all fondly remember, but no one ever really listens to, like, because it's not really like a very listenable song.
But yeah, Lindsay and I were talking about this a few days ago, and I was like, the thing about Independent Women Part One is that like I vividly remember that song coming out and being hyped, and me being watching the video and saying like, this is the song they've been hyping. This is fine. And like, even at the time I was like, whatever. I mean, it was a hit, but like, whatever. If I hear that as a 33-year-old man, I'm like, yes, I remember being a teen.
Question. Wait, what is this song called?
But it's not very good. It's called, what is it called?
Also, don't forget, Independent Women Part One was by Destiny's Child, which was like a group that existed. It wasn't this super group. It was an actual, already existing group.
Don't Call Me Angel.
Okay, well, this song is more... I would say this song is closer to Bang Bang in terms of the type of song it's going to be, which is like three women coming together and trying to figure it out. Like a Moulin Rouge, you could say.
Yes. It's more Moulin Rouge than Independent Women Part One. Lindsay, I just realized
what?
My favorite... my upcoming favorite thing about this song and my favorite thing about supergroup songs or one-time only supergroup songs like Bang Bang.
Yeah,
I love
supergroup songs, yeah.
Is that if, in fact, they become remotely popular, then each of those three artists has to perform them separately on tour.
Oh, and I'm
it's always so funny the way they have it's to perform.
Jessie J, like Bang Bang is one of Jessie J's like bigger songs that she's been involved in slash has done.
Yes.
So you know on tour she sings like her part and then like other people sing other
Lana's
parts.
Lana's not going to play this song. I mean, maybe she'll be contractually obligated to play it.
Lana already forgets what this song sounds like.
Lala sang Break Up With Your Boyfriend on BBC Radio and had to read the lyrics on an iPhone.
She was like,
I love this song and pulled out Genius and was like, I love Ariana.
To be fair, like, who knows the lyrics to those songs? Ariana, like, doesn't enunciate. Like, it's not like those lyrics are easily available to us.
But again, we have to rank from who to them, or they're all thems. Honestly, they're all thems, but...
These are all thems.
Who is the most famous person? Ariana?
I would say Miley, because she's been famous longer. I think she's been in the public conscious longer. And I would say Ariana and Miley are equally famous now. So if anyone has the edge, it's Miley.
Yeah. I think in terms of fame, yeah. I think I was thinking about it in terms of Miley
comes from a famous family.
Miley, I mean, Ariana Grande is a more reliable hit maker at this point, at this stage in her career than Miley. But I think Slide Away is like doing fine.
No. I just think the most currently popular right now is Ariana Grande. Yes, of course. 100%. Miley has been popular for a very long time, or she has been in the culture sphere.
Broadly, I think more people know who Miley Cyrus is than Ariana Grande, especially when you go across age demographics.
Yeah, I think so too.
That's fair.
Because they're like, oh, the girl who did with the tongue and who did the, you know,
yeah,
who
twerked. She outraged old people 10 years ago, and then they never forgot it.
Yeah, they did. It's true.
And so Billy Ray, true. Nepotism always wins. So yeah, Miley, yeah, yeah. Ariana.
Oh, she's Billy Ray Cyrus' daughter.
With the caveat that Ariana is more popular now. Lana Del Rey is at the end, but I think Lana Del Rey is a them at this point. Has been a them for some time.
She is for sure a them. So I would say that's the them spectrum, but like no one is a who. So it's like kind of an irrelevant ranking. But
the song is a who. This is all we have so far.
I told you it's going to be clang, 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 clang. It's going to be like that. It's like a clang, clang. Who produced this? Like Diplo? Like who? What extremely like the fact that Charlie XCX didn't write this is fucked up.
Producer TBA.
Fuck. So we don't even know.
We don't even know.
Oh, so like
I'm still looking.
When you guys are listening, it'll be out. So like you should look that up because I bet it's going to be it's interesting to me who the producer and who the writers of the song are.
God damn it. It's a Republic Records song. So that's Ariana's label, right? Mm-hmm. Ariana's Republic. Lana's mm-hmm. Interscope. Mm-hmm. Who is Miley?
I don't know.
And the director is a director who's worked mostly with Ariana Grande. So I feel like this is an Ariana Grande. She's the lead vocalist on this. Miley is second lead vocalist.
Ariana Grande invited people on this track. It is an Ariana Grande project. You can tell. And she pulled in people that she wanted to work with. Like she pulled in her friends. And you know, her and Miley have that like very cute cover that they do. Don't mm-hmm. Dream It's Over. Like they're friends. They're friends from way back. Child stars, etc.
So is this going to be like just like a Max Martin song?
It probably is Max Martin. It's probably Max Martin. Yeah.
Okay. Let's just make an assumption that it's Max Martin.
But look it up.
It's not out yet.
No, I mean,
they haven't released it.
Listener, it's coming out tomorrow, right?
Yeah, it's coming out tomorrow.
So when you hear this tomorrow, hello, it's tomorrow. Look it up.
It's probably a Max Martin song. Next call. There's no way it's not a Max Martin song.
I know. I was
watching because it was the anniversary of 9/9/99, iconic MTV VMAs day.
Oh, iconic.
And I was rewatching the opening when Britney Spears performed and then NSYNC performed.
Oh, so
and I was like,
I
remember this vividly.
I've never been hornier than like that happening. Like,
and it was just like two Max Martin songs in a row. And oh. I was just like, this is just not English. Like, I cannot believe for like a solid like 4 years of American culture, no pop song made any sense. no pop song made any sense.
But I feel like recently he's gotten better at English. He's gotten better at English, but I think he just lets other people write lyrics more so now, or he kind of comes in to like help your rhyme scheme, you mm-hmm. know?
Yeah. But I was like, wait. Wow, remember how Hit Me Baby One More Time makes no sense? Cool. Hit Me Baby One More Time is based on an assumption that was a phrase and it's not.
How did we let that happen?
Because he was good.
Yeah. Song's good.
Song's great.
We stan. Whatever happened to Independent Women Part 2?
I mean, like, nothing happened to Independent Women Part 2. Don't you remember how that song starts? Hold on. Do you remember this? It's not even a joke. That's how Independent Women Part 2 begins.
I know.
It's like, you thought Independent Women Part 1 was good? Wait till you hear this.
It's like a bloop, bloop, bloop. It sounds like a circus.
It's very much like the Back to the Future part where the guy's like on the phone with his agent while Michael J. Fox is like playing like rock and roll. And he's like, you've been wanting to hear a new sound? Take a listen to this.
You know that new sound you're looking for? Well, listen to this.
Charlie the Chocolate Factory, when they're like in the car going through, like just going through like the chocolate world, that's what it sounds like. And there's like steam coming out of the thing, and there's like bubbles popping out, and it's like everything's like working.
No, yeah. Yeah, like Kelly is like, I'm the second lead Oompa Loompa. Fully. Like, absolutely.
Beyonce's like, we must go. Like, like Michelle's like already ate too much chocolate, like fell off.
Michelle's definitely like eating the blueberry and the chocolate. They leave her behind. They're like, no.
Michelle ate fine. All of it. She's like tiny like the TV. She's big like the blueberry. She got the golden egg. She's Augustus Gloomed into the water.
They roll Michelle away, and Kelly and Beyonce act like they didn't know her.
Yeah.
They're like, oh, didn't she come with you? And they're like, no. Really quickly, one more time.
How is that real? Like, how is that real? How is that really the intro?
Springtime vibes are in the air, and when I bring in some beautiful flowers that are blooming, I want to smell them, not the litter box. And I can, thanks to Pretty Litter. I'm going to correct this ad because I didn't bring any flowers in, but you know what I did cook yesterday? A big pot of beans. It smelled delicious in my apartment. It smelled like all the yummy stuff I was cooking, and it didn't smell like cat poo-poo or cat pee-pee because I used Pretty Litter.
You're saying springtime vibes are in the air, and when I cook a big pot of beans, I'd rather I want to smell beans. Them,
yes.
Not the litter box.
I'd rather smell beans great. Than flour. I'm trying to personalize
I don't think
it.
Pretty Litter would mind you correcting their intro with your own personal endorsement, which is yes. That you want to smell your beans.
Yes. Delicious, fragrant beans with bay leaves and garlic and onion. This is all to say that nothing beats Pretty Litter's ability to instantly trap odor. It's ultra-absorbent, it's lightweight, it's low dust, and 1 6-pound bag works for up to a month. So I know that when people come over to my apartment, they're going to be smelling whatever I'm cooking, whatever's in the air, you know, like whatever candle I lit. They're not going to smell what's in the litter box because it soaks it all up. Plus, the crystals change color to indicate early signs of potential illness in my cat, like UTIs, kidney issues, and more. So when the colors change, you can tell your vet what happened so they know what to look for. And if that wasn't enough, Pretty Litter ships free right to my door. I never run out. I don't have kitty litter bags taking up a lot of space in my little apartment. Go to prettylitter.com/who to save 20% on your first order and get a free cat toy. That's prettylitter.com/who to save 20% on your first order and get a free cat toy. Prettylitter.com/who. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
We're done with the calls. We could play a little game of who them.
Hi, Lindsay and Bobby. We're two sister hooligans calling you on three-way call from two time zones. We're here with our Google Doc because we have a question.
So is Tracee Ellis Ross a who or a them? We have some arguments on each side. So in the category of her being a them, she's on a really popular sitcom on ABC. We might call her Black Them. So maybe this is a question for Amina and Shawnee on Who Dat. From her girlfriend days. She's a legacy them. She's definitely, we are mixed biracial girls, so she's definitely a mixed them, even a blue, a black and Jewish, along with Drake, other mixed thems, Rashida Jones, Barack Obama. She's a curly-haired them, and she has those three-name initial thing, so like T-E-R, S-J-P, AOC, JFK, FDR, LBJ, et cetera, et cetera. So them, maybe?
Okay, but on the who category, her social media presence is, like, pretty who-y. Being a legacy them does not make you yourself a them. See her brother, Evan Ross.
Married also, to who? Ashley Simpson.
Right. Also, like, do the them parts add up to a them whole? She's like a lots of different sub thems, but like, is she a full them? And the last thing is the inciting incident here is she just launched a hair care line that I bought and am trying. Is that hooey or themmy? All right. Yeah. We can't wait to know. Thank
we
you.
We can't wait to know. Thanks. Women do belong in balloons.
Women do belong in balloons. Tracy Ellis Ross, who are them? One, two, three.
Them? I think so. I think so too. She's recently like come, she's like hit that.
I think she was always, she was black them for a lot longer because of girlfriends.
Yeah.
But I think blackish made her more broadly a them because it was like just like straight up ABC.
And it's like a success, and she's Diana Ross's daughter.
She's also
and I think
around
there's just like
more.
A lot there. She's around. She does all these ads. She's at every award show because she loves like wearing high fashion stuff.
Yeah.
I would say them.
Had like a renaissance that made her a them. Yes. And also to answer the question, I think getting a hair care line is a very themmy thing to do.
Oh, a very themmy thing to do.
Absolutely. But I think we've gotten calls about Tracy Ellis Ross in the past, specifically because like of the Girlfriends thing. Because Girlfriends is one of those shows that was on forever.
Yeah.
But it was on BET, which has a niche audience. So it's like, you know, like a lot of people, if you don't watch BET, you didn't know Girlfriends existed. And if you didn't know Girlfriends existed, you probably didn't know about Tracy Ellis Ross.
Yeah.
Next call.
But you're, Evan Ross still remains a who. Sorry.
Evan Ross still
don't
a who.
Try it.
Ashley
don't
Simpson
try
still
don't
a who. Sorry. No offense. Yeah. Ashley Simpson still a who.
John Slattery, who are them? We just saw him on the Long Island Railroad and he was dressed like a young person. I can't really talk because I'm wearing a face mask. Hyaluronic acid.
John
He's
Slattery.
Just like a young person.
John Slattery, who were them? One, two, three, who?
Who? Character.
He's always like, Silver Fox, who's he? Hot, like, hot gray-haired man who's always looked older than he is.
He was, even when Mad Men was on, like, only four people on Twitter were like, John Slattery.
John Slattery is one of those people who was like always like, wow, I can't believe like he's actually pretty young. He's just like hunky and gray, but now he's old. Yeah. So now he's actually old.
Wait, how old is he?
He's 57. Although I have always said you're not old until you're 60. So he's not old yet. I take it back.
But he dresses like a young person.
Yeah, he was saying a lot.
Which is funny because when you think dressed like a young person, was he wearing like Supreme? Like what's dressed like a young person? Great question. Moving on.
Speaking of celebrities, I saw John Turturro. I saw a number of celebrities this week. John Turturro, number one.
Where?
In Park Slope.
He had
earbuds in. Earbuds. And I was like, is that John Turturro? And it was. Very handsome. Dressed very great. I saw Alana Glazer walking down the street.
Amazing.
And I did the thing where I looked up and then I looked back down at my phone. And then I looked up again really quickly. And then she saw me do that. And then we passed.
Who else did
I see? Oh, I wanted to talk about this at the top of the show and then I didn't. So I saw Willie Nelson last night in Queens Forest Hills. Not talking about Willie Nelson. Walking in,
I was like,
and
Bobby,
I was like,
do not talk about Willie Nelson on the podcast.
And I
please.
Saw this person also, you know, walking towards their seat.
Who?
And I was like, I swear to fucking God, Desi from Girls. And do you know my whole thing with him? The guy who played Desi, Marnie's boyfriend on Girls?
Yeah.
He's in a lot of movies. Moss Backrack.
Oh, not him. Sorry. I'm thinking of Marnie's ex on Girls, the guy who's in a lot of movies now. He's the one who quit.
Charlie, whatever.
Yeah, but he's in like a lot of movies now.
But this guy, Eben Moss Bachrock.
Oh, yeah. He's
Lindsay.
Everywhere.
Have I talked about this on the podcast?
You've seen him 45 times. I know.
I see him all the time to the point that it's like a joke that the universe is playing on me. I've seen him in every... I mean, I don't go to Staten Island and I don't really have any reason to go to the Bronx. And the last time I was in the Bronx, I did not see him there. But I've seen him on every... I have seen him... In Manhattan several times in many neighborhoods.
I think you've told
I've
this
seen
story like early
in,
podcast.
I've seen him in my neighborhood.
Yeah.
But when I lived in Bushwick, I saw him there. When I lived, I live in Bed-Stuy now, see him here. Yeah. I saw him once in Red Hook. I saw him in Queens last night at the Forest Hill Stadium. And one time, Lindsay and I saw him on fucking Cape Cod. Like,
oh, that was so weird.
And that's
You're
when
right.
I brought it up to you. And I was like, this is weird because I see him all the time.
Did you talk about it on the podcast or you just like talk to me?
Maybe I didn't. Okay. But it's just weird, and I saw him again.
What's
and
his
then
name? Eben?
Eben Moss Backrack. Yeah. I see him constantly, and it's not a joke. All the time. I've seen him, I would venture over 10 times.
Yeah.
It's very weird.
We saw him swimming in a pond on Cape Cod with his full family.
It was so weird. Yeah. Next call. That's weird, right? Him, of all people. Like, give me someone better. Give me someone I can use. Meanwhile, I carry around my... Every time I know I'm going to be in the Village, I take my Patricia Clarkson bag on the off chance.
And you're
and
like,
that
maybe she'll see... Yeah, right.
Hi, Bobby and Lindsay. I am laying in bed trying to fall asleep, and this literally jolted me awake. It must be known, Alessia Cara. Who or them? Crunch, crunch.
No worse form of insomnia than Alessia Cara's them who status
just
keeping
you
awake.
Waking up from a sleeping like, Alessia Cara! You just bolt up.
Let's, let's help you get your 8 hours tonight. One, two, three, who?
Who?
Sleep well, sweetie. Next call. Oh, Jesus.
Sleep well, sweetie.
Hi, Lindsay, Bobby. Holly Hunter. Who or them? Also, Succession Hive, Assemble, Crunch Crunch. Bye.
One, two, Holly Hunter. One, two, three, them.
Them.
Them. Legacy, I them. She's been around for so long. She will never lose status. She was the piano,
her name
baby.
Is also good. Her name is good. I mean, she's just, yeah, it might be.
She has so many iconic film roles. There's just too many to choose from.
Okay, I know. You're a little biased, too. Okay, we got to move on.
Our Blue Man Group, who or them? Because they were acting real hooey at the Mets game last night. Crunch, crunch.
This is like, they were acting real hooey where?
At you the saw Mets Blue game?
They were acting hooey at the Mets game. I'm sorry. Anyone who's at the Mets game is acting hooey. Blue Man Group, one, two, three, them.
Them. Yeah, Blue Man Group's them. Obviously, the Blue Man Group is them's. Maybe individually they're hooey. Like, I don't know who the fuck they are. They're all blue guys, but like, they're them's. Blue Man Group is the original masked singer in that. You don't know who they are.
And also, like, but you don't care. Yeah. Matt, who is that? You want to know. You want to know who's under the egg. I got to know who's under the egg, but I don't need to know who's under the blue.
Under the blue face.
Next call. Last
one. Also, what about blue women? There can't be blue women. Get out of here. It's 2019. I hate that show.
The Blue Women Group.
Yeah. What the fuck? Why isn't there a blue women group?
My
women
decades,
can't do percussion.
My
okay.
decades overdue comment on the inherent misogyny of Blue Man Group opening at the Public like in spring 2021.
Can you imagine me doing stand up in 2019 and my main joke is there should be blue women's group and then I go viral and then I blow up and then I get a Netflix special, but I don't have any more jokes. It's just that one joke. And then it's an episode of Black Mirror or something.
Okay. Last one.
Hey, Lindsay and Bobby. Is Toni Collette a who or a them? I've never heard of her, and I've never seen anything that she's been in, but apparently she's like a big deal. Help? Crunch, crunch. Thanks.
This guy's a liar. You've seen something Toni Collette's in because you've
Toni
seen
Collette's
The Sixth Sense.
Been in a lot of stuff, though.
You've seen The Sixth Sense. Everyone's seen The Sixth Sense.
But it's not even like Toni Collette was a big deal back then. She's still like churning out the hits.
She's churning, but I wouldn't call Toni Collette a big deal. She's prestige. She's an Oscar nominee. Australia's finest.
Are you going to say she's a who? Because like if you're canceled.
One, two, three. Them. Toni Collette. Yeah. Them. Fine. Great. Hereditary them. But I think The Sixth Sense, you've seen The Sixth Sense.
Oh, she's amazing.
Muriel's Wedding. She's Muriel. She's a them.
We love Toni Collette. I love her. She's great. She also seems really nice. I get nice vibes from her. Just like nice person vibes.
Is that, was that a troll call? Was that someone trying to fuck with us?
I don't know. It might be. We've been getting some of those recently.
This guy, I've never heard of her. I don't know. I don't know. Who's this Toni Collette woman?
Someone called with someone, I'm not going to say who. And I was like, this is a PR person for this person. Like, this is 100% PR.
Hey, I've heard of this movie, The Aeronauts, premiering on Amazon Prime in December 2019.
Hey,
I just had a wild debate with my friends at the club. Is Felicity Jones a who or a them?
Crunch, crunch, crunch. Reads from script.
You hear like the paper shuffle.
Good form, me and Grease. Crunch, crunch. Their caller ID shows up as like whatever PR, but women do belong in balloons PR or something.
Ooh, we've been recording for a long time. Thank you for listening to Who's There, Who Weekly. Call us at 619-WHO-THEM if you want to be on a future episode of the show. We get so many calls, and yours might be featured on the next week's episode. Follow us on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook. Support us on patreon.com/WHO-WEEKLY for bonus episodes twice a month and a weekly newsletter. And we'll see you on Friday. Oh, no, no, no. It's the weekend. We'll see you on Tuesday with another episode of Who Weekly. Thanks for listening. We love you. Bye.
Bye.
Twinklets of them. Shut up.
To be famous.
Hey, Lindsay, Bobby. So my best friend's roommate was raised in a cult until she was in like middle school. And now that she's out of her parents' house and is finally allowed to listen to secular music, her favorite musical artist, Bebe Rexha. And I just thought you guys should know. Good form, Bella Thorne. Me in Greece.
Sorry to this man.